Brothers and sisters, would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 22. Christ. We're going to see how Isaac points to Christ, and we're going to see how the ram points to Jesus Christ. It's said that about 100 years ago in the Scottish church that if people were getting lethargic or a wee bit tired, they would just stand up and start stretching and, you know, shaking off and all the rest of it. Please don't do that during my sermon. And I'm actually going to preempt that by asking you to stand as we read the Word of God. So stand for the reading of God's Word, Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you that we are found here in your house this night, with your word before us, in your very presence. O Lord, we pray now that you would lift up Jesus Christ in our eyes, that you would exalt him in our midst, that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to see him in all his beauty and all his glory, that you would speak to us, and that you would bless us for your own name's sake. We pray, asking the forgiveness of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Parents, you know how much you love your children. You know how you would do anything to protect your children. If you saw your child or a grandchild nearing a busy road, you would run, wouldn't you? You would rush to stop him or her and pull him away from the busy roads. And I think Abraham loved his son with the same paternal and the same protective love that we love our children. He loved his son, we read in verse 2. And yet, God commanded him to sacrifice his son Isaac. Look at verse 2. He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." And surely Abraham was shaken to the core. It's one thing leaving your father, as Abraham had to do in chapter 12, but it's another thing leaving your son. It's one thing sacrificing your past, but it's another thing sacrificing your future. And we can only imagine this evening the sinking feeling that Abraham had as he was commanded by God to do this thing. And remarkably, Abraham sets out on this long 3-day journey. Now, you Americans are great with long distance journeys, I've noticed. 10 hours, 15 hours, 20 hours, you laugh in the face of long journeys. Our Brits are terrible. We go 30 minutes before we need a tea break. But you Americans scorn long journeys. But surely this journey was the longest journey in the history of the world. Can you imagine? 3 whole days, 2 sleepless nights, 72 hours of Abraham's mind racing at 100 miles per hour. All these questions. Why? Why, God, do you want me to do this thing? God, do you not see, do you not know how much I love my precious son Isaac? How I waited 100 years for this son. God, have you forgotten that Isaac is the promised son through whom all the covenant blessings are going to be fulfilled? God, do you not realize that if Isaac is slain, then the hope of the world is extinguished? What a journey. And then on the 3rd day, he sees the dreaded Mount Moriah like a storm brewing on the horizon. Verse 4, on the 3rd day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. What a fearful sight. We can only imagine how his heart sank and how his stomach began to churn. And then the tension reaches fever pitch as he begins the ascent. Verse 6, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together." Every step would have been crushing to Abraham. And then Isaac turned to his father and said, "My father." And surely Abraham was screaming inside. And then verse 7, he said, "Here am I, my son." And Isaac said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. They've arrived. And Abraham has built the altar and he's bound Isaac and he's laid Isaac on the wood. And no doubt Abraham kissed his son one last time, and then he takes the knife. And his hand is shaking, his heart is pounding, his mind is racing, his tears are streaming, and he doesn't understand. "I don't understand, God, your holy nature, my precious son, Lord, your covenant promises, the hope of the church. I don't understand, but I believe you, God. I believe in you. And the only explanation that I can think of is that you will raise him from the dead." And so he takes his knife and he lifts it up in the air. He's about to plunge it into the chest of his son and then stop. Verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Isaac was always safe. But here in these verses, we have a display of unadulterated, faith-fueled, active obedience. Let me say that again. In these verses, we have a display of unadulterated, faith-fueled, active obedience. This is unpolluted. "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And then the stage curtains close on this drama, close on this scene. And there's an interlude, and the curtains open again, and there on the stage is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because really, Abraham's act of obedience was just a foreshadow of Christ's act of obedience. Abraham was a priest, obediently offering up his son. And he's simply a foreshadow of Christ the priest, the great high priest, who obediently offers up himself. And no doubt the pain that Abraham felt at the thought of offering up his son was dwarfed by the pain that our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, felt as he offered up himself to the wrath of God. And you remember Gethsemane, how he was in agony with his face in the ground, how he began to be greatly distressed and troubled, how his soul was very sorrowful, even to the point of death, how he recoiled at the Father's displeasure. And like Abraham recoiled at Moriah, Jesus recoiled at Gethsemane, but in all his act of obedience, he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And he offers up himself in all his act of obedience. And we can't imagine the trepidation that Jesus had as he walked up Mount Calvary, which actually is Mount Moriah. And like Abraham, Jesus had to take step after step after step, and every fiber in his holy body recoiled at the wrath of God. But he kept going up the top of that mountain until he offered up himself to the glory of God. And you know the difficulty of obeying God for one day. You know how easy it is to give in to the empty promises of sin. You know how easy it is to shrink into unfaithfulness to God. But here's the Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfectly obedient. It's just like Abraham. He offers himself up as a sacrifice. And brothers and sisters, don't you understand this evening that he did it all for you? He was a priest offering up himself for you. Abraham points to Christ. Secondly, Isaac points to Christ. Look at Isaac's passive obedience in verse 7. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. You know, I don't believe in mere coincidence. I believe in coincidence. But I don't believe in mere coincidence. It wasn't mere coincidence that Isaac had to ascend a hill to be sacrificed. It wasn't mere coincidence that Mount Moriah is Mount Zion, where the temple is built. It wasn't mere coincidence that Isaac had to carry the very woods that would be his altar. It wasn't mere coincidence that Isaac was the covenant son of promise through whose seed every covenant promise would be fulfilled. And I don't think it's any mere coincidence that in this passage before us, there's not even a hint of incomplicity on the part of Isaac. He goes and he is bound, and we see his passive obedience to his father. And there's another interlude, and then the curtains open again, and again we see the Lord Jesus Christ, another son through whom the world will be blessed. We see another son walking up a hill. We see another son carrying like a lamb to the slaughter, not opening his mouth. And when those filthy and wicked hands took him and led him away to his death, he didn't resist. And he too was bound and laid on a wooden altar. And again, the knife was raised into the air, and this time it wasn't just a metal blade. This time it was the wrath of God, hell itself, and there was no voice to cry, "Stop!" There was only darkness. There was only silence as the wrath of God came down and pierced his soul. And you see, not only is Abraham in all his active obedience pointing to Christ, but Isaac in all his passive obedience points to Christ as well. And again, don't you see that it was all for you, brothers and sisters? He did it all for you. Abraham points to Christ, Isaac points to Christ, and finally, the ram points to Christ. Look at verse 12. The angel of the Lord said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. The providence of God. This ram was strategically placed. It would have been no good if this ram was caught in a thicket half a mile down the road. It would have been no good if this ram was caught in the thicket a week earlier or a week later. It would have been no good if this ram was a deer or some other sort of animal. According to Leviticus, it had to be a male ram. It was the right animal at the right place at the right time. Or from the ram's perspective, the wrong animal at the wrong place at the wrong time. This is not a mere coincidence. God planned this substitution from eternity. And the same is true of Christ's coming. Jesus came to the appointed place. It may seem a bit random to us, a barn in the Middle East, but it was the right place. And Jesus was the right sacrifice. He was a male without blemish or spot. And Jesus came at the perfect time. He emerged from eternity onto the timeline of history at just the right time. And Isaac asked Abraham the question, "Where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And it's as if John the Baptist turns and says to Isaac, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It was all part of the perfect execution of God's eternal and foreordained plan. The second thing to note about this ram is that this is a substitution. Isaac was removed from the altar. And this ram was substitutionary atonement. Not only was the ram sacrificed, it was offered up as a burnt offering. The whole ram was burnt, offered up to God, and the smell and the smoke would have risen into the atmosphere and pleased God's nostrils. And the curtains close one last time on this drama. And there's an interlude. And the curtains open one last time. And behold, there on the stage is the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold the sacrificial, substitutionary Savior. Because the sacrifice of this ram pointed to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, without the sacrifice of Christ, every other sacrifice is meaningless. The ram's blood was poured at Mount Moriah, but that simply poured to the blood of God that shed at Mount Calvary, where Jesus was sacrificed as a substitute. And you can imagine the scene as Abraham and Isaac walk down Mount Moriah with Isaac free because his substitute took his place. And you can imagine them stopping as they go down the mountain and turning and seeing the blood of that sacrifice and seeing the smoke going up into the air, into the atmosphere. And we can say to Isaac, "Walk away, Isaac, because that substitute took your place." And Christian, If you are a Christian this evening, Christ is the sacrifice that took your place. And as you walk down the mountain, you're free because you had a substitute take your place. And as you walk through the blood that came from heaven and see the blood that was shed on a wooden altar for you, the blood that came from his head and his hands and his side on the wooden altar rising into the atmosphere, and you can go down the mountain. But turn and see the Lord Jesus Christ and say, yes, there's my substitute. There's the sacrifice that took my place, the terrors of law and of God. With me can have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. He satisfied God's justice for me. He extinguished the flames of my hell. I am free because he took my place. He is my substitute. He is my Savior. Don't you love your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? And as we think about Genesis 22, I want to say to you as a close this evening, it's not wrong to read Genesis 22 and to look at the obedience of Abraham and look at the obedience of Isaac and examine ourselves and say, where am I disobeying my holy God in my life? It's not wrong to look at Genesis 22 and see the sacrifice of Abraham and the sacrifice of Isaac and say to ourselves, what do I need to sacrifice before a holy God? What idols do I have that I need to lay on the altar before God? And it's not wrong to come to Genesis 22 as Paul does in Romans 4 and look at the faith of Abraham and pray, Lord, give me faith like that. None of that is wrong. It's good. But when I come to Genesis 22, I want to look through the shadows, lift up a sacrifice for me. And wow, look at the passive obedience of Christ who was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Sacrifice for me. And wow, look at the sacrifice of Christ who lay down his life for me, who took me, as it were, off the altar and climbed on in my place. Look through the shadows and see the Lord Jesus Christ. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's pray. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, may we never take it for granted that you came as our great high priest. And you offered up a sacrifice. You offered up yourself for me. And may we never take it for granted what it was for you, our Savior, to have your hands bound by wicked men and carried off and slandered and spat upon and mocked and crucified and sacrificed for me. And our Savior, may we never take it for granted what it was for you to take our place on the cross and bear the very wrath of God as your blood poured out and as you extinguished our hell on the cross. Well, we praise you this evening, our Savior, and we thank you that you are ours. And that we are yours, washed by your blood, redeemed by your perfect work. Our Savior, how we love you, this day, and we ask that you would go with us the rest of this week, living in light of who you are and what you have done for us. Amen. Would you please stand for the benediction? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.